Good afternoon, everyone. As I mentioned, my name is Patrick, and I'm just here to present a student, a graduate, and a recently university-employed graduate's opinion on the exchange program itself and or everything that led up to that, as well as the New Colombo Plan Alumni Ambassador for Western Sydney. I'm here to show or to ask the question, how do you increase student participation in mobility programs? From my perspective, I see that student participation could be anything engaging in short-term or semester-long placements, simply because the experience or what a student can get out of it is relative to them, and whether or not that experience is in the short term or in the long term is purely dependent on what they actually do or what they get out of that program. So just to give you a bit of background about myself, I started university in 2013 before the New Colombo Plan had actually been introduced, and the landscape of mobility programs that were available at that time are quite different to what they are today. At that time, it was very difficult to find programs that would be for 2, 4, 6 weeks to places that offered short-term programs abroad, and the ones that were actually available in Asia were even less in number. So in terms of that, I was actually still fortunate enough to be able to go on a 2-month placement to Vanuatu, doing a construction project there, and then a 1-week symposium through the university, which was focusing on student leadership. I knew from the start of high school, or the end of high school, that I wanted to go on exchange. I didn't have a particular opinion on where I wanted to go, but based on the people that had done it before and their stories, as well as the regrets of those who had graduated and hadn't gone, I knew that exchange was something that was integral to the university student experience, and so I knew that I had to do it. I just hadn't decided where yet. And so at that time, when I was looking for information, it was actually quite difficult to source information on how to go on exchange. So what happened was that they would say, okay, we're doing an exchange fair, come down. I was a first-year university student, I had no clue who to reach out to, and there was a fair going on, and all it was essentially brochures of universities that I could go to. And so in terms of actually sourcing exchange from, you know, a couple dozen universities, I didn't know where to go, what to do, and there was probably one page in each booklet that actually had information about exchange. So needless to say, at that time, I didn't read many of them. Probably about 1 or 2. And so from there, just keeping in mind that I didn't know where to go yet. And so when I wanted to actually get information about exchange, they said, okay, well, now we're going to have a presentation that if any student wants to go on exchange, you have to attend this presentation. It was held at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday when most people have classes. So I went and attended. I skipped my class. Sorry to any professors here. But needless to say, the attendance there was about 6 people. And at that time, they said, well, if you don't attend... if you don't attend this seminar, which is held once a semester, you can't go on exchange. And as far as I've heard from students from other universities within New South Wales, I'm not going to name any names, that hasn't changed today. And I'm more than welcome for anyone to call me out as a millennial, like, complaining here. But at the end of the day, we are the people that you are selling to. And I've been on the other side as well, trying to get students to go on. But we are the ones who will make the decision on if we go and if we don't. And if we're not able to be engaged in that sort of way, we're not going to go on exchange. And so if we have that one difficult experience, one time in one part of the semester, especially as a first-year student, you're going to think, that's too difficult, forget about it. And you're not going to consider it for the next year or 2 years. And as far as I'm concerned, that's how it was at the time. What happened as well from there is that I had actually applied to go to Canada for my exchange, simply because the resources there were the easiest to find, and in terms of getting approval for my units, as an Australian student, it is quite difficult to get approval to your units when you only have 4 and you need a minimum of 3 to go on overseas. Now, that may be a government requirement, but at the time, compared to a student from Japan or a student from the States who may have 8 units where it's not actually dependent on how many units they have to study when they're going overseas, it does make the experience a lot more difficult for an Australian student. As Stephanie mentioned before, in terms of funding, it is quite easy for Australian students to source that. So we face, and we speak English as well, which makes exchange, especially even in Asian countries, a lot easier. So we actually face different problems to what students face from other countries. And so at this time, I applied to Canada, and most of you are probably thinking, well, this is a presentation about Japan. Where does Canada come into this? And at the time, I was actually in Japan when I had everything submitted. I had my units approved from Canada. I was waiting from the Canadian University and UWS to get back to me and say, you can go on exchange. So I was in Japan. I checked my email at the time. But instead of that, instead of the confirmation, I got an email and said, the new Colombo plan is launching in 2014. Would you like to apply? And so there were four destinations you can go to at that time: Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, and Indonesia. And at that time, I thought, I probably can't go to Japan because I knew about two sentences in Japanese. And so I reached out to, fortunately, I was able to reach out to my international department. They said, apply, and let's see what we can do. And so from there, that changed my opinion completely. And I'm always wondering what would have happened if I ignored that email. Because what that actually showed me was that if you wanted to do exchange in Japan, you can actually, or in any Asian country, without that actual language skill, you still can go overseas, which is something that universities, I believe, really need to push in terms of the offerings that they have. And so from that, I actually spent 23 months in Japan. I studied for two semesters. I managed to get my Japanese to a level where I could study all of my units there. And then I worked for Mitsui, which Mito-sensei or Tam mentioned as well, National Australia Bank and the Australian New Zealand Chamber of Commerce in Japan, where I was able to see how a Japanese company operates, which has been in Australia since its federation, an Australian company operates overseas, and how an Australian or a Japanese consultancy bridges those two caps together, one company wanting to do business in Japan or another wanting to come to Australia. So upon returning, I actually got into a situation where I was working for the university. So I was actually working with the School of Business in the international department, trying to get students to come onto international exchange, whether it was short-term or long-term exchange. And so even though cost was one of the biggest things that has come up, the new Colombo plan has changed a lot in terms of the landscape from when it was when I started to how it is now. I would actually say it goes to the extent where we have too many programs for students to choose from, so they actually get overwhelmed with the number of places they can go to. What actually happens is that if you go onto a new Colombo mobility scheme, which usually tries to entice students to continue their Asian knowledge by going overseas on a longer exchange, they can actually go on one mobility program, so one short-term exchange where the university will give them money. If their experience is bad in this situation, that's going to put them off the entire experience. And so when we have too many programs that are available to students, we need to really be able to communicate which programs will deliver the most for a student, which I'll touch on just shortly. And so what I realized from my position is that there are three types of students that are actually going on exchange. The first is a last minute. So the student who will probably get an email at 5 p.m. when the deadline is due, and they're going to send that application 1 minute before the deadline. I had a friend who was about to go on exchange, and the only reason when I asked him, why did you go on exchange? And he said, at 5 p.m. they sent me an email. I registered my interest, and they said, look, you qualify, you can do it, just send your application through. So that's why I did it. And that's the only reason why they went on exchange, and then they went from there into a short-term exchange because of their experience. The next would be the opportunist. Sorry, the formatting has changed a bit. Would just be for a student such as myself. So they're going to say yes to every single opportunity, but in an environment where they're only allowed to pick one specific place to go, you really have to, or universities really have to sell to them, what are we going to do to get students to go, and what is going to be the best value out of their time? Because if their time is not valued, they're not going to go into the next semester-long exchange. And the final is the dedicated. Especially when talking Japan, we've got a lot of these types of students. They're the ones who have studied since high school. They know from the first year that they're going to go to Japan. So you don't really need to tell them what they need to do. In fact, anything is probably wasting their time because they knew it before they started university. What needs to be sold to them is what they can get out of their program beyond just a simple exchange. And that's the dedicated student. I'm conscious that I'm quite low on time here. So the last part of what I'd like to talk about is how students can actually get something meaningful out of their experiences. So it's one thing as a new Colombo Plan scholar to be able to say, well, students have gone on exchange, but we're actually thinking about one thing further, about how they can take that experience and turn it into something that makes them want to further Australia's place within the Indo-Pacific region. And so a lot of it does come down to how early they are engaged as students. And usually that means they have to be taken on from the first or second years because towards the end of a student's exchange, they may start to treat it like a vacation or something that they'll forget. I did have a friend who I was talking to about this before I finished my program. And when they finished, they knew that they wanted to work with Japan to foster the abilities that Australian and Japanese startups could work together. I spoke to them, I've been in touch with them, but I spoke to them specifically about this and they said, man, it's crazy, back in 2015 I left. Japan was my identity. That's what I told everyone about. That was all of my experience. That's what I talk about to everyone, including my potential employers. 3 years later, when I got wrapped up within the world, within working, when my time wasn't, I wasn't able to focus on what I was doing, I actually forgot, and it's not who I am anymore. Just something to think about for the discussion. Thanks for your time.